A scripture passage this morning is taken from Luke chapter 2. This is Luke's account of the birth of Christ, and I'm going to be reading the second part of that story, verses 8 through 20. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. And in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." And it came about that when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came in haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph, and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. If you had to pick one word that best describes the atmosphere, the mindset, the aura of Christmas, what word would that be? That's hard, but one of the words that comes to my mind, may surprise you a bit, is the word emotional. Emotional. During the Christmas season, perhaps more so than at any time of the year, our emotions are stirred in some special and unique ways. The majesty and grandeur of the Christmas story, the warmth and the beauty of Christmas lights, the excitement of the children, the Christmas cards we receive, the sounds of Christmas carols, the gifts, the food. All this combines to make Christmas arguably the most emotional time of the year. So, what are some of the emotions of Christmas? What are some of the things that we feel, that we experience? There are many we could mention. I'm going to mention three. And the first one I'll mention of the emotions of Christmas is wonder. Wonder. In his second chapter, Luke tries to describe the emotions that came to the surface during that first Christmas. And he paints a picture of a baby being born, angels filling the sky, and shepherds standing literally awestruck. Then in Luke 2, verse 18, the RSV says, "And all who heard it wondered." They wondered at what the shepherds told them. Another translation uses the word, "were amazed." Now, their wonder should be no surprise, because their silent night had been shattered by the glorious presence of God. The world of mankind had been invaded by the Word of God. The Word had become flesh. But it happened so differently from what people expected. Certainly there is wonder, first of all, over the love that Joseph had for Mary. That first Christmas, their love had faced a monumental challenge. Their marriage had not been consummated when Mary conceived her son. And for two pious Jews in the first century, it was a crisis of unbelievable proportion. Think of the questions, the doubts, the misgivings, and the confusion that surrounded both of them, especially Joseph. But because of his love for Mary, he turned his back on the gossipers. He swallowed his pride, and he accepted the incredible announcement of the angel that this was a special child given by God. So there's a feeling of wonder, amazement, when we think about Joseph's love for Mary. Can you imagine listening to an angel tell you that and following what was told? There's also wonder, secondly, when we think about Mary's love for her son. We see it in her song of celebration, which is often called the Magnificat, in Luke chapter 1. Mary said, beginning in verse 46 of Luke 1, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed." Mary was amazed at the fact that a child was to be born who would become the Savior of the world. She was even more amazed that God would choose her as the one through whom this child would enter the world. I'm afraid that a lot of us have lost our sense of wonder at the proclamations and the promises of Christmas. Because, hey, we hear it every year. It's the same kind of thing. And we can lose our sense of wonder even about such an amazing story, an amazing account as this. We've lost our sense of wonder about a God who is big enough to create the whole universe, but at the same time chose to come to earth in the form of a vulnerable, tiny baby. We've lost our sense of wonder about a God who is so sovereign in his power, that he holds the whole world in his hands, but at the same time is so personal in his concern that he knows the number of hairs on our head. A little girl, when told about some of the great Old Testament stories about God, shook her head and said, "God was much more exciting then." Well, no, that's not true. God is just as exciting now. We just don't seem to sense it all the time. From beginning to end, Mary loved her son. From the Christmas birth, to his experiences as a child, to his popular earthly ministry on earth, to the mounting opposition, to the crushing cross, to the final victory. Through it all, Mary loved her son. She never stopped loving. The wonder of her love for her son. And when we think of the love of God for us, we truly wonder. Even greater than Joseph's love for Mary, even greater than Mary's love for her son, is the love God had for us when he sent us Jesus. We have become so accustomed to the Christmas story and so dulled to its message. But I wonder if we could look at things a little differently this Christmas, this Advent season. Could we read Luke 2 and Matthew's account as well? Could we hear it and experience it again like we've never heard it before? As if for the first time. If we could do that, if we could somehow hear it like we've not heard it, like we've never heard it before, I think the emotion of wonder would once again be ours. So the first emotion that I mention is the emotion of wonder. The second emotion of Christmas that I'll mention is sadness. Sadness. Now, perhaps that sounds like an odd one to mention, but I'm sure that many people here and many people that you know would acknowledge that sadness can indeed be an emotion of Christmas. That in the midst of all the positive, uplifting emotions of the season, there are many who find Christmas to be a sad and depressing time. Counselors say that Christmas is for some people the most depressing time of the year. Sometimes the sadness comes because of the demands of the season. The rush, the busyness, the chaos, so much to get done, so little time to do it. Sometimes it comes when you look under the tree and there aren't many presents there. Just don't have the money for it this year. And there can come even a feeling of failure, not being able to provide. To others, the sadness comes because they recognize more clearly at Christmas the emptiness, the lack of meaning in their own lives. Another year has come and gone with not a lot to show for it. But most often, the sadness of Christmas is caused by the awareness that the future is not the same as the past. That the future is not going to be the same as the past. Those who have to face Christmas without a loved one who died during the year, to face that for the first time, or the second year, or the fifth year, it can go on. Or those whose circumstances have changed so drastically from last year to this, whether it be a relationship, or a friendship, or a job, or having to move out of your home and go to an assisted living, those kinds of changes in circumstances can make the season a sad one. There is sadness that is experienced in the midst of the Christmas cheer. And I'm sure we all know of people who are spending their first Christmas since the death of a spouse or a parent or a child or a grandparent or a close friend. There can be sadness in the midst of the Christmas cheer. Now, some of the sadness is inevitable. The demands of the season are depressing and overwhelming at times. There are some people whose lives are empty, and the facing of Christmas alone or without a particular loved one does hurt. Some sadness is inevitable. But we don't have to do all the seasonal things, all the traditions, in order to have a good Christmas. We can have a good Christmas without it feeling like a Hallmark movie, or that it came out of a magazine, if our Christmas doesn't quite look like what the magazine depicts it as. We can still have a good Christmas without those things. And as Christians, we do believe that Christ can fill the emptiness in a person's life, that Christ can bring new meaning. And while we wouldn't deny death, we also know that not even death can eternally separate us from those we love in Jesus Christ. But with all that said, sadness can be one of the emotions of Christmas. The final one that I will mention, the final Christmas emotion I'll mention, is joy. Joy. The carol says, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come." And by joy, I'm not talking about the plastic smiles that some people paste on their faces to hide how they really feel, or the artificial happiness that is produced by stimulants like alcohol or other drugs, or the reaction to a glut of presents under the tree. I'm talking about an inner joy that is rooted in a living, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Mary felt joy over Jesus. She had a sense of joy which came from her awareness of the part God was allowing her to play in the redemption of the world. The angel felt joy over Jesus. In Luke 10, it says, the angel speaking, I bring you good news of a great joy. The shepherds experienced joy. It says they left the manger glorifying and praising God. Simeon and Anna in the temple felt joy over Jesus. Why? Because of the hope which the promised child brought to them in the midst of their problems. I would certainly hope we are feeling joy to realize that God loves us enough to come all the way to where we are. That should bring joy. To realize that God loves us enough and to realize that Jesus, whose birthday we celebrate, can meet our needs and calm our fears and satisfy our longings. All that can bring us joy. Pam Kidd, who is a longtime writer for Daily Guidepost, tells the story of walking in to an upscale Chattanooga, Tennessee store. She was 18 years old at the time, and she and her father were there to get a Christmas present for her mother. Something in cashmere, she said to the sales lady. At the same moment, the door to the store opened, and in walked an obviously poor, ragged child. Everyone in the store saw him and stopped in mid-sentence. The little boy was carrying a box of paper flowers tied together with cheap ribbon, supposed to be corsages. The child clearly was an intrusion. And in the hush, a clerk began to move toward the boy to shoo him out of the store. Pam said, I swallowed hard. I didn't think I could bear the little boy's coming humiliation. Then she said, and then my father saved us all. All 6 feet 4 inches of Daddy was heading toward the boy, his deep, booming voice filling the store. What do you have there, son? My, what pretty flowers. I don't guess you'd let me buy one of those for my daughter. You would? Thanks, son. Thank you. And Merry Christmas. The store let out its breath. The boy left with a full pocket and a smile. And Pam said, I walked proudly down a Chattanooga street, arm in arm with Daddy, wearing the tackiest purple flower you ever saw. Pam Kidd now has grown children of her own and several grandchildren, some of those who are also grown. She then said, that same flower, now carefully framed, hangs on our wall each holiday season. It brings back that wonderful day, she said, when my father reached out past proprieties and gave me the real Christmas. And she said, it reminds me that Christmas still waits to be found again in unexpected places. Unexpected joy. There's still time. It's just the beginning of Advent. You can still experience that emotion of sheer joy if you haven't already. The joy of the Christmas season. All the emotions of Christmas. I want to suggest something for you to do during the days and the weeks of this Advent season. Greg often asks you to think about something during the week from his sermon. Well, this is something that you can do for the next few weeks if you are willing. I invite you later today or sometime soon to get three pieces of paper or go to your computer or laptop. On the first page, write or type at the top of the page the word wonder. On the second page, the word sadness. And on the third page, the word joy. And from now through Christmas Eve, I would invite you to write down your experiences of wonder and sadness and joy that you experience this Advent season. Ask God to help you recognize those experiences when they happen and write them down. Look for them as you go about your day. And then I would invite you on Christmas Day to set aside some time and read what you've written down. I believe it will bring you closer to God, reminding you that He has been with you through all of those experiences of wonder, of sadness, of joy. And I think it will prepare you in a special way for the coming of Christ at Christmas. We bow to pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to think about and realize the emotions we do experience, perhaps particularly so at this time of the year. Thank you that you are in all those experiences and you're there for us, and that you celebrate with us in those experiences, and you mourn, you grieve with us in those experiences. Father, help us to prepare ourselves for the coming of Christ at Christmas, and perhaps to use this way as one of the ways to do it. And so we give you thanks for this time of the year as we make our way toward the coming of the Christ child. For we make this prayer in Christ's name, amen.